Okay, we are in Selected Messages, Book 3, page 214, if you actually have the book, and it's chapter 24, Counsel Regarding Age of School Entrance. That's the title. And it says, for years, much instruction has been given me in regard to the importance of maintaining firm discipline in the home. I try to write out this instruction and give it to others in one of the forthcoming volumes of my writings on education. Will be published considerable additional matter on the training of children. And I like the way she gets into some information in that book, too, because I've read parts of that book in education. And she brings up some pertinent points that science has just figured out, what, 10 years ago? And I had an issue like this when I was a kid. I couldn't handle algebra. I mean, you know, plus and minus, multiplication. Multiplication, I literally had to sit in the eaves of my home to get away from all my siblings and memorize my multiplication tables. Otherwise, I would not have gotten out of eighth grade. And I did it, praise God. But division and stuff like that, and then, of course, fraction. When I was a young kid, I couldn't handle it. And Sister White brings it up. I believe it's in the book on education that young minds can't. And here's the problem. It's not until you reach the age of 10 or 11 or 12 or something like that, or maybe even 13 or 14, depending upon the kid, that you then can be able, then you're able to form thoughts in your mind that will allow you to understand how to do math better, right? But here's the problem, and this was my problem until I started messing with computers later on in life. But when I got to high school, I still couldn't do math, even though my mind could. I was convinced I couldn't because I couldn't do it as a kid. I didn't realize my mind had changed because I had grown up. I was just convinced beyond all doubt that I ain't going to be able to handle that stuff. And I never made it any good grades in math in high school because I didn't even apply it. Didn't even try to figure it out because I figured, I ain't getting this. And then later on when I started messing with computers, I go, wow. You know, I was able to do some stuff. But praise the Lord for calculators because it really helped me a lot there. But still. It is amazing how she brings this up. But let's just read. I don't know. Maybe she brings it up here. I don't know. But she goes on to say that those who assume the responsibilities of parenthood should first consider whether they will be able to surround their children with proper influences. The home is both a family church and a family school. The atmosphere of the home should be so spiritual that all members of the family, parents, and children will be blessed and strengthened by their association with one another. Boy, if I'd have had an upbringing like that, you know, and if my kids would have had an upbringing like that, too. I mean, most of my, especially my older kids, they were raised in a Catholic household with a lot of yelling, and it was all me doing the yelling, you know. And then when I was growing up in my parents, with my siblings, it was a lot of yelling, and everybody was doing it. Well, yeah, even my mom. Everybody was doing it then. And so it was just normal atmosphere. I just said, hey, this is life. This is the way you are, you know. And, but, boy, I tell you, if we would have had a Christian upbringing, I just wonder. But I guess I had to go through those experiences because there's not a lot I would have been able to understand in regards to the fruits of Catholicism had I not lived it. Because I know a lot of people out there that have no idea. The Catholics believe what? You try to tell them. You show them some stuff, and it's like, you got to be kidding me. And it's right there in the catechisms. 86% of their dogma, as they call it, is paganism, not found in Scripture. This is why they so much love the Apocrypha. You know, they got to get those extra books in there because it glorifies, you know, Catholicism. It has a lot of that pagan theology in there. So, she goes on. Heavenly influences are educational. Those who are surrounded by such influences are being prepared for entrance into the school above. And yes, we are going to go to school when we get to heaven. But it's not going to be the school the way it is designed on earth. The way it should have been designed, like I was talking about earlier, and I think it's in the book of Education where Sister White brings it up, she says, let the kids be kids. Do not start any kind of schoolwork until they're 10, maybe, 8, 9, 10, 11, depending upon the kid. Let them have their childhood. Let them have the fun. But the U.S., you know, I remember reading about this even when I was a teenager about how they started the school system in the cowboy days. and how the mothers were screaming, holding onto their children with white knuckle grips, and the government people were coming around ripping the kids out of their arms and just dragging them into the schoolhouses because they were training the kids up just fine. But that's not going to work in a modern society where they're going to be able to enforce the mark. Now, of course, our early leaders probably didn't know a lot about the mark of the beast. And I don't think much of them know about it now either. They just think it's a money-making opportunity. The devil's going to convince them to do this or do that for his agenda. And they're looking at all they can see is the carrot that he dangles in front of them. And they're literally pawns. And this is what makes my heart calm down when I think about the work I'm doing. Because a lot of people think, you know, oh, I wouldn't do that, man. They're going to kill you. You know, they're going to do this. You know, you're crazy, man. You're putting your life at risk. And it says, hey, wait a second. 99.9% of the guys, the leaders out there that are doing all this crazy stuff, even the guys in the Vatican, really have no clue as to what they're up to. They're all about the dollar. They're all about the power. All right? And my God is, you know, directing the work I do. He knows about them. And it's very easy to prevent them from doing anything they want to do against me. If it's his will for me to stand in front of a magistrate while I hang out in a jail cell for months or even years, so be it. If that's the work he's got planned for me, I'll do it. Or even if I have to, you know, take a nap before he gets here, that's fine too. We got to look at the whole picture, the big picture. And so if he needs to do the work, I mean, look at the apostles. When their work was done, yeah, they were, you know, most of them were martyred. But that was when their work was done. They were going to die anyway, you know, eventually. And so, why not die a martyr? So, she goes on. But yeah, getting back to the school thing up above, it's... Like when on my heaven page, I go into as much detail as I can find in the scriptures in regards to what we're going to be doing in heaven. And a lot of it has to do with studying what he has created. And this is one of the reasons I like to walk around in the woods. Every now and then I run across something like whoa. Like just recently I saw some mushrooms coming up and the lids were huge. They were underneath one of the evergreens back there. And I've never seen that before or it's just, it's not that I'm getting down on my hands and knees with a microscope and down there and cutting them up and, you know, dissecting the mushroom or anything like that. It's just, I know when we get to heaven, we're going to have a lot more understanding and the science will be a little clearer to us because we're looking through, you know, dark shaded glasses right now. We have a need-to-know basis eyesight, and that's it now. But when we get there, a lot of it's going to be opened up to us. We're going to be able to study all this stuff and just see him glorified. I mean, inner space to me is very exciting. I've always had, like when I looked, I saw that one computer program where the guy actually took all the data that the somewhat trustworthy doctors in the AMA, there's a lot of good doctors. It's the ones that start messing with that internal medicine stuff that kind of, you know, well, that's prophesied, you know, the sorcerers. But what they can do with surgery and what they can do with, or what they know, rather, with what's going on in the cellular makeup of human beings, or anything, for that matter, is just mind-blowing. And this one guy took a computer, like a CAD software, and just put all the data in there in regards to what we know in modern science today as to what happens when chromosomes split. And if I could find this video, I'm going to put it online. Because I saw it online, and I don't know why. Maybe I put it on the site, but it's, you know, try to find something on my site. Even though I even built my own search engine, and sometimes it's, like, difficult. The way he says these things are moving, the computer generated all the graphics, and it generated all the digital effects and all the digital movements, only based on the data it received, because a computer is as dumb as a rock. And I found that out when I started programming computers. You tell a computer to go to the store to buy some milk, and the door's locked, it crashes because you didn't tell it. If the door's locked, grab a key out of your pocket and stick it in there and turn the knob. You even have to tell it to what kind of key and how to turn the knob. And then if you go in there and if the milk's too much, it's going to crash unless you tell it, well, buy it if it's this much or that much. You got to tell every little command is what I mean, right? The computer's only as smart as the programmer. And so they put all this data in there, and to watch the way a cell splits or the chromosomes separate inside a human body. But what got me the most, have you ever seen that bumper sticker from years ago? And it was called Keep On Truckin'. And you had that guy that had these long legs just sticking out, and he was just walking along. There's this being, I don't know what else to call it. I mean, it's inside your cells right now. And as the chromosomes are splitting, it knows it's got a little bit of time to get to the other side to tell everybody, okay, it's all been done, it's split, let's clean stuff up and get ready for the next split. And so as in between that time, as you see it splitting, this part of our cellular makeup, whatever it is, I don't even know what to name this thing, it starts to walk down the edge of the chromosome as it's splitting to get ready for the next one, to get down to the end. And it looks like those legs on Keep On Truckin'. It literally looks like legs without a human body, just legs walking down the side to get to the other, to get to where it's got to do its next job. And this goes on a trillion times in a human body. You know what? In a lifetime? Yeah, oh, you saw that too? And then I got to find that video. It's just, I was just transfixed. I think it was only like a 5-minute video where they zoomed in on inner space. And, I mean, because it's enough to see how our Lord created the universe. But to go down and to see what's going on in the droplet of a drop of water and all those little, like, paramecium and all those little guys moving around in there and amoebas and all that stuff, it's like, wow. And it's like a little world. It's like a little world inside there. I mean, to them, our fingernails in a universe. Because there's just, it's just, and how these atoms all get together. Because you keep going and going and going, you see all this space in between the atoms. So, if there's all this space in between the atoms, how come my fingernail doesn't fall off? Or my hair doesn't all fall off? Well, it's starting to. But you know what I mean. Yeah, it literally looked like a being walking around. I couldn't believe it. Well, I had to, because the data was there. So anyway, Sister White goes on to say that mothers should... Oh, and by the way, and the reason I was bringing that up is because when we're in heaven, we're going to see His creation for what it is, as much as He's going to reveal to us. And that stuff like that, that inner space thing with that little thing walking around like that when I saw, that's just one of... Okay, I can't even come up with how big the number is of the things we're going to be learning up there. And that's exciting. Just seeing... It's just... It's like sightseeing in reality. It's like some people, oh, I want to go check out the Grand Canyon. Well, you got to see this instead. Look at this thing walking up this thing. It looks like a giant zipper on the inside of your chromosomes or something. So she goes on. Mothers should be able to instruct their little ones wisely during the earlier years of childhood. If every mother were capable of doing this and would take time to teach her children the lessons they should learn in the early life, then all children could be kept in the home school until they are 8 or 9 or 10 years old. So maybe it's here she's talking about this. But many who enter the marriage relation fail of realizing all the sacred responsibilities that motherhood brings. Many are sadly lacking in disciplinary power. In many homes, there is but little discipline, and the children are allowed to do as they please. Now that is today's... Now think about that. It's the 1800s. Today, much worse. I mean, with the prophecy, you know, children will be disobedient to parents. I mean, they're killing parents now, the kids. And then the parents are killing the kids. You hear about that dad that just did this in Florida, killed, what did he do? He killed his daughter and then 6 grandkids or something like that. Then he kills himself. That's demonic possession. I mean, and that happens so much. But they'll say, oh, that, you know, he was just chemically imbalanced. You know, maybe he was a little low on his Prozac or something. They don't want to say it's demon possession because then you have to acknowledge Christianity. Well, you want to do that, you know, it's, you know, today's world. You keep that barbed wire, keep the barbed wire all around Mount Sinai and make sure nobody goes up on top of Ararat, you know, because then it proves, you know, Islam is wrong. Judaism's wrong. Hindu, all of it. They're all wrong. Catholicism, it's all wrong. We got proof right on planet Earth. Just go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at all those little balls of sulfur. I got a piece here from some guy that was a traveling preacher that went out there and he brought one to me. You know, the stuff that fell out of the sky. She goes on, such children drift hither and thither. There is nobody in the home capable of guiding them aright. Nobody who with wise tact can teach them how to help father and mother. Nobody who can properly lay the foundation that would underlie the future, their future education. Children who are surrounded by these unfortunate conditions are indeed to be pitied. If not afforded an opportunity for proper training outside the home, they are debarred from many privileges that, by right, every child should enjoy. This is the light that has been presented to me. And another thing I noticed, too, as I was, you know, when we pulled the kids out of the school, some of the older kids got a little upset, but I think it was mostly because, well, our friends, we can't get no friends. But, you know, hey, it was dangerous to be there on multiple counts, mostly spiritual. But here's the thing. Look at the kids coming out of the schools now. And this is what scares me for my grandkids, because they're specifically dumbing down the children on purpose. If you look at the curriculum of today's, you know, grade school or high school, it's nowhere near as what it was when I was going to school, and it was already being watered down when I went, and this is why I was so rebellious in high school, because I read encyclopedias when I was a kid. We didn't have video games, and so I read encyclopedias. And I knew when I got to the high school that they were lying to me about how this nation began. They were trying to tell me it was all about, you know, taxation problems. And the Boston Tea Party was one of the reasons for the start of the nation. I said, whoa, so I guess the Mayflower's just a joke? And so I said, okay, if you're going to lie to me, then I'm not even going to bother taking your tests. And I didn't. And so I saw it then when they were doing that stuff. But the thing is, today, unless they actually pick the kid out of the classroom and turn that into the teacher's pet and work on that one as a project, most of the kids are going to be factory workers or just order takers or whatever. There's not a lot of career choice. Even if you go to college now and literally go into debt up to your ears, you can't even get a job. With a degree, you can't. There's people that are homeless with degrees and with $100,000 still left on their student loans, and they're living in cardboard boxes. So I praise God for another reason why we took them out of the schools is because all they really need is the reading, writing, and arithmetic. The rest of it is just common sense. The history, you're not going to get it in the high schools anyway. Because what they're telling, they have rewritten history so many times in the history books now that America, it's maybe by the time if Jesus tarries and is coming and our grandkids have grandkids, their kids are going to think that America is utopia or something. You know, and it started off as some cloud that just descended from above and landed out here on the northern continent. And it's just, it's all just falderal. I mean, look what Rome did. People, there's no way they're going to be able to do that. They can't erase history. Really? How many Christians were killed during the Inquisitions, and who did it? What's an Inquisition? What are you talking about? Nobody knows. So much so that people are saying the Pope is a man of God now. The Seventh-day Adventist Church even says it now. That man represents the men that killed Christians. But because they've altered history, nobody knows this now, except for the remnant people and anybody that listens to anything we have to say. That's why we have such a great responsibility ahead of us. We've got a lot of work to do. Our children know more than their theologians do. Like that guy that I'm doing the video about, that so-called Bible analyst. He doesn't even know what the word sword means. If you look it up in Strong's Concordance, it means a knife for cutting up meat. But he says it's a weapon. Oh, so they're going to have two swords for 12 men. Yeah, that makes sense. So pass it around during a battle. Take turns using it. The schooling system today is all propaganda. It's all designed for whatever the agenda is in D.C. They're... You can actually see what their agenda is. It's their version of utopia. everybody is okay. It's all one world religion. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't even matter what your sexual preferences. Johnny can grow up thinking he's Sally, and Sally can grow up thinking she's Byron for whatever. And they can just do whatever they want. It's just like Satan's book that Aleister Crowley and Anton LaVey were, you know, it wasn't 10 commandments, it was 10 suggestions. Whatever thou wilt, do it, kind of a thing. It was that what he said? Whatever thou choose to do, do it, or whatever thou wilt, I think it was. He tries to even talk old English. I mean, come on. He tries to emulate scriptural lingo, if you will. He's a Satanist. But that's the way it is today. So going on, she says, those who are unable to train their children right should never have assumed the responsibility of parents. But because of their mistaken judgment, shall we make no effort to help their little ones to form right characters? God desires us to deal with these problems sensibly. Church, schools should be connected with sanitariums, is the next section. And it says, in all our sanitariums, the standard is to be kept high. With these institutions should be connected as physicians, managers, and helpers, only those who keep their households in order. The conduct of the children has an influence that tells upon all who come to these sanitariums. God desires that this influence shall be reformatory. And this can be, but care is required. The father and the mother must give special attention to the training of each child, but you know how the families are up on this hillside. The patients understand how it is. The way it is presented to me is that it is a shame that there is not the influence over the young children, or that there is not the influence over the young children that there should be. Every one of them should be employed in doing something that is useful. They have been told what to do. If the father cannot be with them, the mother should be instructed how to teach them. But since I have been here, the light has been given me that the very best thing that can be done is to have a school. I had no doubt that the very... And that's a wise choice, because especially in the 1800s and creeping up on the 1900s, eventually it's going to get to the point where dad's not going to be home a lot because he's got to get out there and, you know, bring in the money. And then eventually when you get up to the 70s, when they decided to go from 30 cents a gallon to over a dollar a gallon, and everything started, all the inflation went through the roof, so that you had to have debt now. That was part of society. You couldn't buy a car for $3,000 anymore. Now it's $30,000. So it's wise to have a school, but the school's got to be structured in a godly manner, is what she's getting at here. So she goes on. She says, I had no thought that the very little ones would be embraced in the school. Not the very little ones. But it would be best to have this school for those who can be instructed and have the restraining influence upon them, which a school teacher should exert. We have a school here because the Word of God could not be taught in the other school, or the public schools. Our brother, Anthony, that teaches that school, is fully capable of carrying a school with teaching the Word. He is fully capable of doing that. He has his position. They have hired him. And as long as they let him stay undisturbed, he had better stay there. So, amen. The next section is titled, School Privileges for Younger Children. Wouldn't you just love to have a school? I know I would. She says, but here is a work that must be done for the families and for the children that are as old as 7 years and 8 years and 9 years. We should have a lower department. This is a second department where these children could be instructed. They will learn in school that which they frequently do not learn out of school, except by association. Now, it seems that the question is about these children going to school. I want to know from the parents, every one of them, who it is that feels perfectly satisfied with their children as they are, without sending them to school. To a school that has Bible lessons, has order, has discipline, and is trying to find something for them to do to occupy their time. I do not think there is anyone, if they come to understand it, who will have objections. And amen to that. Because we all know idle hands are the devil's workshop. And so I know, like, when I was bored, I didn't have any nice things to want to do. It's, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. She goes on. This next section is titled The Setting of the Early Council. And it says, but when I heard what the objections were, that the children could not go to school till they were 10 years old, I wanted to tell you that there was not a Sabbath-keeping school. Now, this is, of course, she's talking about after the fact, because I was talking about, I've got to find out where that quote is in her writings in regards to that. But, and if you look back on what she's saying here, if you can't homeschool the kids up to this point, then yes, it's good to have a school where there is order, discipline, and Bible lessons and whatnot that she's talking about here. But anyway, she goes on. She says, I wanted to tell you that there was not a Sabbath-keeping school. When the light was given to me that the children should not attend school until they were old enough to be instructed. Okay, there she goes. Okay, so that more or less confirms what I was saying earlier. Because at one time there wasn't a Sabbath-keeping school, and so the kids should stay home until they're instructed properly. And then they can go to the public schools. But she goes on to say, she says, they should be taught at home to know what proper manners were when they went to school and not be led astray. Because that's what Christian parents are trying to do today. Because, yeah, we understand it. Sometimes mom and dad have to have two incomes, and you got to send your kids to school. So give them as much education at home about the good manners and the Christ-like activity and to carry themselves in a Christ-like manner so that when you send them to school, they're not going to be led astray. And this... And kids can do this, because I remember in the 70s when I was going to high school, there were some Christian kids in the school, and everybody knew who they were because they were the ones that never got in trouble. They were the ones that always had good grades, and they were the ones that dressed differently even. And they weren't ugly and nerdy looking and stuff like, you know, some people imagine. They're just like all the rest of the kids. You know, they just didn't do like what the rest of the kids did. And so I can see that still happening today. But it's a lot more dangerous environment today, especially if you live in a big city where you got everything from sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, even the guns and stuff like that in the schools. But she goes on to say that the wickedness carried on in common schools is almost beyond conception. And again, this is in the 1800s. Today, off the charts. Literally, overwhelming evidence of end times. She says, that is how it is. And my mind has been greatly stirred in regard to the idea. Why Sister White has said so and so, or no, it says, why Sister White has said so and so, and Sister White has said so and so, and therefore we are going right up to it. Well, she even put that in there. But anyway, it says, God wants us to all have common sense, and he wants us to reason from common sense. Circumstances alter conditions. Circumstances change the relation of things. Amen. And this next section is titled, A Church School Versus Poor Home Management. And she says, here is a sanitarium, and that sanitarium must carry the highest possible influence inside and out. Then, if they see children who come there, sharp-eyed, lynx-eyed, wandering about with nothing to do, getting into mischief and all these things, it is painful to the senses of those that want to keep the reputation of the school. Therefore, I, from the light that God has given me, declare that if there is a family that has not the capabilities of educating, nor discipline and government over their children, requiring obedience, the very best thing is to put them in some place where they will obey. Put them in some place where they will be required to obey, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Good behavior is to be carried out in every family. And so what she's more or less getting at is there's some, and we've seen it too, like when we were growing up, some kids that came to high school were from dysfunctional families. And so, you know, in this case, they would be treated in a different manner, of course, for obvious reasons. She says, we are educating God's little ones in our homes. Now, what kind of education are we giving them? Our words, are they loose and careless and slack? Yeah, for the most part, mine were when I was raising my kids up until I left the Catholic Church. And so I would imagine most households are going to be like that, especially if there's no Christian parents. She says, is there an overbearing disposition? Is there a scolding and fretting because parents have not the powers to manage? The Lord wants us to take all things into consideration. Every parent has on his hands a sum to prove. How are my children? Where are they? Are they coming up for God or for the devil? All these things are to be considered. The book that is coming out will have much to say in regard to the great principles that are to be carried out in training the children from the very baby in arms. The enemy will work right through those children unless they are disciplined. Someone disciplines them, If the mother or the father does not do it, the devil does. That is how it is. He has that control. And I praise the Lord for the one. That's one thing I noticed with my kids, because that was a big difference between the way I was raised. And that's one of the reasons my wife and I, we raised the kids a little differently than the way our parents did. Because my wife was raised in a family where, yeah, Ma, I'll see you later, and come home at 4 a.m. and there's no questions. Well, my house was the same way. Yeah, I'll see you. Come back Monday. You know, it's like, no questions asked. No one cared. My kids, hey, you'd be home at 11. They're home at 11:01. They're gonna hear it. And they ended up being good kids. For the most part, they're good kids. I mean, yeah, they got some goofy ideas in some areas, but who doesn't today? You know, we all have. I'm a goof sometimes in some of the things I think of. And so, you know, none of us are walking perfectly yet. But I praise the Lord that there are ways to, you know, I mean, the way the kids actually reflect if they're properly disciplined. Because like I said, I've seen both sides of the coin. I went to high school. My kids, most of them, you know, the older ones, all of them, went to high school too. And they probably remember some of the stuff that they saw in there. And now some of the kids were, wow, and, you know, very well mannered and very well disciplined. And other kids were like beating the daylights out of the other kids. I mean, it was like war. It's like a whole society in, especially when you get to high school. High school is just a breeding ground for barflies, as far as I was concerned. Because the action, all the stuff that was going on in the schools that I was going to when I was a teen, or the school that I had two high schools, but the first one was, I don't really count that one. Later on, the main high school where I met my wife is where it was literally like a bar scene. Even the teachers were, and that was in the 70s. I can only imagine how bad it is now, because I hear about it's bad enough the priests are doing this pedophilia stuff. The teachers are doing it now, but it's mostly the women teachers are going after the young men now. I mean, the guys are still doing it, yeah, and they were doing it in the 70s too. But the kids are literally being thrown into a very dangerous environment. That's why I put on my homeschool Spurs page that school is not a safe place for children. It's just not. It's not even a safe place for them teachers, spiritually speaking. So finally she says here, I shall not say so much now because I want to understand just what I would speak on. I want the objections brought forth. Why children should not have an education. Amen and amen. I'm going to end it here because it goes to a new section a little bit here with higher, with bigger headlines or whatever, or titles. And it's like, we're only like 5-2, so. And Alex just PM'd me a video. I'm going to see if this is the video that Alex just found. So hope and pray you're blessed. I'll be back in a minute.